Ed Blakeley has served in different capacities under a succession of presidential administrations, has guided government policy on urban planning, and as a widely cited academic. My name is Sean Bruton, and each week Ed and I have a chat about what's the latest news out of the United States, talking everything politics, planning and policy from sea to shining sea. Find us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Fire and fury like the world has never seen. This is what Trump has said North Korea will experience if it continues threatening the United States. Is the US about to go to war?
I think the military have taken those toys away from him, but it doesn't make us any happier. I think Kim Il-sung might do something that is provocative. He might send a rocket in the direction of Guam, and an overreaction, a very quick overreaction, it would be on. The problem we face is not so much hitting the United States. We forget that the DMZ is only 30 miles from North Korea, and they have gun emplacements, regular gun emplacements, that could tear Seoul apart in 30 seconds. Before you get planes up, Seoul would be, half of it would be gone. So this is the kind of situation where Korea, the Korean Peninsula, would be damn near wiped out within hours. So we got to be very careful here. The Korean economy is very important to the world. Getting that economy back would be very difficult. If these rockets started going off all over the hell, you wouldn't know where they were coming from. The rocket emplacements are very far north. We'd have to have supreme intelligence to knock down every one of those rockets when it came out of the ground. And Kim Il-sung would think he'd be dancing in the streets. I'm the hero, along with our president, running for a hiding place. So it's a very bad situation. But interestingly enough, China was acting well earlier in the week when the sanctions were put on. So it was not a good time to start talking about fast and fury or whatever the heck he was talking about. This was a time to be diplomatic, conciliatory. The Chinese had joined in the box. He should have stepped back and said, Mr. Kim Il-sung, I'm willing to meet with you to make sure your people are taken care of. What can we do to work together?
I think it's quite interesting what you pointed out about China right there, because China seems to be stepping more and more, well, up to the plate to establish itself as the key democratic power around the world while the United States is in free fall.
That's true. That's very true. The Chinese are acting very statesmanlike, but they have a reason for this. North Korea is a pain in the backside for them. North Koreans are coming across the border daily in large number. That's their Mexicans. And they come in, they don't have the language capabilities, etc., low skilled, and they're on welfare. So they really don't want more North Koreans in China.
Turning our focus back to Washington for a moment, the New York Times has claimed Vice President Pence is positioning himself for a run at the presidency in 2020. On the basis that Trump, if he sticks around even that long, will choose not to run. Pence has stringently denied these reports. What's your take?
How many times did Caesar say he wouldn't take the throne? Look, when you hire one of the best political operatives in the country, in the Republican Party, to be your new chief of staff, doesn't that say something? When you spill a lot of your staff and put in people who can work with the Congress, and you start looking presidential by short trips around the world, saying the right things, even meeting with minority groups and the like, that seems a bit presidential to me. And nobody's at home in the West Wing. So he can do all this while the president is out, and the president's out most of the time, even when he's there. So Pence is positioning himself. If the president goes down, he's there. And he's there looking presidential. He's even re-erected a bill that would be a repeal and replace Obamacare with his name on it. He's talking about a different kind of immigration policy and so on. He's talking to the base. So he's going to divide that base. And if he divides that base, he can conquer it. And if he conquers it, clearly, if he becomes president by default or becomes president by an election, he's a true winner.
I've got to ask, though, how dangerous is this territory for Pence if he's seen overshadowing or doubting Trump's ability? I mean, Pence, I would say, has been quite good at this. He's kept his distance but played at being a loyal lackey. And we've seen how Trump seizes on any underling that seems to be getting too big for their boots. Steve Bannon would be a perfect example of that. I don't know. Can a vice president be fired?
No, a vice president cannot be fired. Only the electorate can do that. But Pence has been around long enough to have profile. He's increasing that profile. He's doing this very cleverly. So if the president comes back at him, he'll say, I'm only doing this to protect you. I'm only getting these bills up to help you. And he knows he's building the future. And he can see the weariness in Trump's eyes. So he knows that Trump's not going to come after him. Trump is pretty well spent. I think Sessions was the last thing. And he's even gone low on the Twitter feeds because his new chief of staff doesn't want him to be on Twitter. So the president is president in name only. I've said this before. The domestic affairs are run by Pence. Foreign affairs are run by Tillotson. Military affairs are run by Mattis. So the president is out of the game. They just have to keep his mouth out of it.
Now, the grand jury in the Russia investigation, it's come out this week that former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort had his home searched late last month with the Mueller team looking for tax documents and foreign banking records. Is this bad news for Team Trump?
Yes, it is. This is where this investigation is going. They're not trying to look at what went on during the election or during the campaign. They're looking at to see if the Russians have leverage over the people who were in the campaign. And if they had leverage over these people, then the Russians could basically turn them into people who would do their bidding. And it looks pretty clear that that's happened. Manafort has big business dealings with Russians or people who are working with the Russians. So does Mike Flynn have big business, the Turkey stuff and so on. All this stuff indicates that these people were on the take. And of course you have Jared. And Jared has big banking accounts, big relationships with Russian bankers, and proposed that he set up an alternative way of communicating with them. So it looks like it was a leverage move, not a campaign move.
And just finally, President Trump, he's off on a 17-day vacation at the moment. Some would probably argue well-deserved and probably for the best. But in terms of his communication on some of these issues that have been cropping up, what have you made of it? It seems like he's going pretty quiet on the Russia investigation at the moment.
Well, that's because his lawyers have said, every time you say something, you make obstruction of justice very plausible. And particularly saying things like, what powers do I have to give people pardons? Why are you going to do that? Can I sack the investigator? Why are you going to do that? These all sound like obstruction of justice. And his tweets reinforce those. So obstruction of justice is a very subtle thing. Most people obstruct justice don't do it by putting up a big fence and you can't get around it. What they do is little subtle things that make it difficult for the investigators. And they're making that trail. So there are two trails here. One of them is, was there basically the possibility of people being turned into spies for the Russians? The other is, did the president involve himself in things that would stop any clear investigation going on about the campaign or about the latter matter, and that is criminal activities, money laundering, and things like this? The Trump Organization, from everything I've seen, everything I've read, some very good reporters, has been deep into the Russian money through a number of fake companies and things like this for some years. And that's the reason Trump was trying to stop the investigations, because he's worried about what will be found out about him and the Russians and the Russian oligarchy and the Russian crime syndicates. Remember, there were true people from Russian financial organizations in that room on June 16th. They were not there to be translators.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest on American news and politics. Subscribe on iTunes and Wooshka to stay up to date, and show us some love on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.